Affiliates Head On with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates Head On with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark. Hi, Bogey.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
It's Thursday, kind of slushy outside the Head On studios here in our secure, undisclosed location in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. The days grow a little shorter, a little shorter, a little shorter. And it can be trying. It can be tough this time of year. You know, never mind the, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Yeah, okay. It's also, for many, many people, a very difficult time of year. And so all I can offer in that regard is to say we'll get through it together. 3 hours a night, we'll get the bees out from under our bonnets, the burrs out from under our saddle, get all this stuff off our chest. Now you stop it. I know how you think. But we'll get through. So tonight has a little bit of a scattershot flavor to it. A couple of stories out there that are worth having a run at. The continued assault of the right wing on family values in America. Yeah, the House passed a $56 billion tax cut passage, tax cut package today. A little too much gin on the cornflakes this morning. Now, what? Consider that for a moment. We have the worst deficit in American history. George W. Bush has run up more debt in the 5 years he's been in office than the debt of every single president in the United States history combined. That's some debt. That's more than your average little... It's not just a great big revolving Sears charge account, okay? We have hung our future on the willingness of the Chinese to loan us money. That should give you pause. There's always been, in so-called modern governments, there's always going to be an issue of debt. And it's one of those things that makes this time of year hard to get through, because, this is the greed season. This is the season when the retailers bombard you with guilt. You're not buying enough. Come listen to our bells jingle. Come buy more. Be a real American. Get more stuff. And so, with the combination of the lack of available daily light, you know, what's the name of that? I mean, it's identified. It's in the textbooks. Seasonal affective disorder syndrome, SADS. In combination with the constant cacophony of guilt and come and spend, get yourself in debt. You know, because what? Jesus won't like you if you don't max out your Visa card. If you even bothered with the war on Christmas and John Stewart's take on that last night on The Daily Show was brilliant. He picked up on Brad Friedman's scoop over at bradblog.com and ran with it, and it was hilarious. But Stewart's fundamental point, the idea that somehow we're not retailing Jesus enough, is well taken. And so in this season of joy and giving, in this season of joy and giving, when we all have to run out and max out the credit cards, so that we can have a real good hangover shortly after New Year's, in this season of monstrous debt, I guess the Republicans in the House of Representatives felt like they had appropriate cover for jacking a little more debt on us. $56 billion tax giveaway for the rich today, coming from the House. It lowered tax rates for capital gains and dividends for an extra 2 years. Now, you know, stocks are personal property, just like a boat is, or a car, or a computer. And yet every year you and I have to go to the courthouse and pay our personal property taxes on our car, our boat. Hell, you pay property tax in West Virginia on your dog. And yet the Congress of the United States is going backwards. Why do stockholders not have to pay personal property tax on the value of the single, in many instances among the rich, the single most valuable piece of personality that they own? Why not? But there was a bit of a fight in the House today, and it was quite interesting to see the Republicans answer the clarion call of their masters in corporate America. Because don't kid yourself, most of the stocks are not owned by some prudent investor making minimum wage and putting, you know, $2 a week into his fund at Charles Schwab. The $1 million a year plus crowd, those are the majority of your stockholders, and they got a little early Christmas gift today. And it came at my expense and your expense, working people's expense. And, you know, if there's any optimism to be had out of this, you know that the Republican Congress is doing that because they know this time next year they're out on their ear. That's the optimistic way to look at it. So we got that to get us all started, but there's ever so much more as well. We'll get rolling right after the break. This is Head On.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Okay, 18 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. A reminder of the phone number is 877-4, the number for Head On, 877-443-2366, and alternatively 304-658-3333. The email's easy, bob@headonradio.com. Our friend Sue on Big Coal River just used that email address. She said, Bob, if you watch C-SPAN today, you must be frothing at the mouth. Yeah, pretty much. The House of Representatives passed more cuts for programs for poor people to go along with the tax breaks for the rich. The Republicans were defending the war in Iraq. Steve King, Republican from Iowa, went on and on and on, drug out every war in history, Spanish-American, Civil War, World War I and World War II, the Cold War, and tried to make Iraq into those wars. He quoted one of the enemy, saying if they keep attacking Americans, they'll leave like they did in Vietnam. King went on to say all the people that died after we left Vietnam was the Americans' fault for leaving. Mr. King said Saddam had WMDs in the form of chemicals that he used to kill over 100,000 people. Yeah, Mr. King, you're right, buddy. We sold him those. And then started sliming Howard Dean. One of the Republicans from Arizona kept chiming in and cheering everything he said. Sue says, I think I'll go hunt something for nausea. You probably should, Sue. They're a nauseating bunch. And that was that was part of the talking points today. I happened to be out and about and caught the front end of Flush Flemball's program, in which he made, I'm convinced after what I heard today, I am absolutely convinced this guy's back on the junk. Because you know the story yesterday about the insane guy who got shot on the American Airlines flight from Medellin, Colombia. Well, Flush Flemball today compared George Bush attacking Iraq. Get this. Sit down. Really, not kidding. Compared that to compared George Bush attacking Iraq to the guy, the air marshal shooting the crazy dude. And, you know, I was just going down the road, rolled the window down, and just, right out the window. I don't know. That's some powerful OxyContin he's into again. Let's go to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Hey, man. I have a secret. I've been holding onto it for a while, and I'm going to have to, after the events the other day, I'm going to have to explain it. In
okay.
Your studio there where you broadcast, there is something that you didn't know was there.
What's that?
Agnes, you want to tell them?
Well, Chris, I don't think I should. I've been undercover for a long time, so...
You want me to explain it?
You explain it, man.
Okay.
Okay.
Bob, whenever something happens on the air and you get a little too out of control, Agnes is a qualified marshal.
Oh, my God. She's an air marshal.
She's an air marshal. So if you get too out of control, Agnes has to, release from the Justice Department. She can take you out.
You know, if you knew how close to the truth that probably is. There are nights I'm afraid to go to sleep.
But the other big thing I wanted to tell you, that other than the fact that you may get shot at any moment, is I know why those people were coming from Colombia here.
Okay.
They've got wind of this big event that's going to happen. There is going to be the biggest battle royal you've ever seen in your life.
How so?
It is going to be the Saudi royal family, Reverend Sun Yat-moon and his people, in a knockdown, drag-out death match for the control of the Bush family.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
They're being torn in two different directions, you know, a house divided, you know. So it's going to have to come down to, this big battle royal sometime.
Well, you know, Chris, in all seriousness, I can't say what I would have done had I been in that air marshal's shoes. But can you imagine that poor woman watching her husband gunned down before her very eyes?
Did you ever see the CSI episode where the guy on the plane was making a big thing and everybody was just wanting him to shut up and trying to silence him, and they all wound up pounding him to death?
No.
It turns out the guy was very, very sick. And at the end of the episode, Grissom says, if just one person would have just asked the guy, are you okay? Do you need some help? Are you sick? Then none of it would have happened. All through the flight, he was kicking on the seat. He was making a nuisance and everything. I don't remember the medical cause for it, but the man was truly, truly ill.
Yeah.
And if someone would have just asked...
Well, this woman was screaming, he's not well, I never should have brought him, he didn't take his medication, and...
All they saw was the color of his skin.
You know how it is with those South Americans, they look a little Arabic.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I don't believe that he said, I have a bomb. I believe that he felt like it was all closing in on him, and he was taking off and getting out of there, and they were chasing him, and he was saying, I don't have a bomb.
More than likely. I wouldn't doubt that a bit.
And they shot him.
I wouldn't doubt that a bit. I noticed that 2 hours, I mean, in when his wolfness, as Jack Cafferty said,
right,
started their coverage, for about the first 5 minutes they gave you the facts, and then for another 2 hours they speculated on.
Yeah, just guessed exactly what we just did right here.
And after that 2 hours, then they started saying, well, you know what? He could have been sick. This could have gone wrong.
Well, and you have to take it in context, too. Remember the poor Brazilian dude in London?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Shot him in the back, gunned him down, said he was a tourist. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. A terrorist.
Anybody chasing you like that with guns, you're going to flip out, isn't it? Nobody.
You're going to stand there and get shot?
Yeah.
I mean, we're.
Well, I know what you're going to do.
This is all part and parcel, Chris, of what I call the coward nation. A coward, a nation led by a coward will behave in brutal and cowardly fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely go along with that. Tomorrow, you know, when you go to the store or whatever, and just pretend, you know, that you have a really Jesus-like complexion. You know, they come through the store, and one person says, that guy over there, he was looking for maps to the White House. Well, they're going to pounce on you like crazy.
Sure. Well, I remember when the FBI, or Homeland Security, maybe it was just John Ashcroft, put out the general warning to be cognizant of anyone out there brown-skinned people purchasing almanacs.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Well, you know, I remember a time when it was... You had to be cognizant of brown people trying to vote.
Yeah, true, too. The ropes in trees, strange low-hanging fruit, yeah.
Yeah, strange fruit. Yeah, oh. People hear that song and they think, well, that's a sexy song. No.
Yeah.
No. It's Cassandra Wilson does it.
I don't know what to make of that shooting yesterday. My heart just went out to that poor woman. My heart went out to the guy.
Yeah,
but you know, we've got a Supreme Court that revels in screwing crippled people. So what do we expect?
Well, it's like Neil Young saying, "There's one more kid who'll never go to school, never get to fall in love, never get to be cool."
Yeah, exactly. We got to hit the break, Chris. Thanks so much for your thoughts.
All righty, take care, Agnes.
Take care. Later. All right, and a quick break, and when we come back, more of your phone calls. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob. This is Head On.
It's a crime. You let it happen to me. Never mind, I let it happen to you out of mind. Forget it, there's nothing to lose but my mind and all the things I wanted. Every time I get it thrown away, it's a sign. I get it, I wanna stay by the time.
I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense.
One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, and it's well straight to the phone. Fritz is with us in New Mexico. Hey, Fritz, how you doing? You're head on. Fritz? You there, Fritz? Oh, it would work if you'd turn the plus. Yeah, that. Sorry, that's our fault, Fritz.
That's okay. I'm here, Bob.
All right, good to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm sorry I haven't been able to listen except to White Rose Society Archives because I've been working late. And it's, as I told Agnes, it's been real cold here, so nobody wants to work after the sun goes down.
Oh, no.
We've been in single numbers after the sun goes down.
Are you in the mountains there?
Oh, yeah, Santa Fe.
Yeah.
1,000 feet.
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
Yeah, that can. I think the altitude here above mean sea level is about 1,400 feet.
Yeah, that's a lot different from 7 grand.
Yeah, a little
seven
bit.
7 grand gives you a 30-35 degree shift between day and night.
Yeah, I can well imagine.
Yeah.
Not something you want to, you know, anything exposed can get frozen off.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Do not go out much at night right now.
No.
Anyway, I got 4 porcine anal sphincters that I want to rail again.
Okay, go ahead.
And instead of using them PIG, as Jim objected to last week, and I did hear that show,
yeah.
I'm going to use porcine.
Okay.
And anal sphincter is a term of use in medicine.
Absolutely.
And it's perfectly appropriate to John McCain, number one,
yes.
For what he said about MRSA.
Right.
And number two, of course, is Joe Lieberman. You know, that's a given.
Yeah.
But number three, because mio padre, Anato in Italia, and he came here, in fact, in 1914.
You're right.
But they told that lie about Sammy Alito. Yet my dad was 4 years old, came over on the boat in 1914, and he was a naturalized citizen, so I'm first generation. And so when this pig Sammy Alito, sorry, I had to use the word.
That's
there.
That's okay.
You know, lies about his dad coming over on the boat. It really, really gets me angry because he's defacing the hardworking Democrats of the Italian American persuasion, of whom I am familiar with many, many. And Sammy Alito is basically a blight on my heritage.
Oh, he absolutely. It's a I've been criticized for calling him Sammy Bad Breath. Because
I don't see any problem with that.
Well, no, apparently I'm being overtly, that's an ethnic slur.
No, it's not an ethnic slur. What it says is that he lies and he lies and he lies. That's bad breath.
That's exactly, well, that's the way I'm thinking about it, Chris.
Oh, yeah, that's the way I interpret it, Bob. No problem.
And George came out and talked about how, Sammy's dad came over on the boat. The draft records are right there from when he signed up for the military.
Well, we know anytime George's lips move that a lie's coming.
Well, that's true too. But I was thinking about it today, Fritz. The problem here is that the other side, they hear these lies, they swallow them for gospel, and they never engage in anything approaching critical analysis or critical thinking.
You know, and Bob, that brings me to my fourth anal sphincter set, and that's that swing vote apparently out there. Not vote, but that swing opinion out there. Because apparently George Bush was down in the 30s last week in approval, and now he's up somewhere in the low 40s, I hear. So somewhere out there, there's a 5-7% swing opinion. And these people can't have any neurons or synapses in their gray matter.
No.
If they're thinking that just because gas prices went down a few pennies, all of a sudden this guy's doing a good job.
Exactly. And, I don't know, maybe they're being swayed by the war on Christmas.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, you know, I write off that 30 or so percent of, you know, the religious right. I just write them off. They're hopeless. But I'd like to think that these other people could. And especially that today, with what happened in Congress, with the passage of this tax cut.
Oh, God.
For investment income. My God. I mean, I've been working since I was 13, and I expect to possibly work till the day I die.
I'm figuring.
And I have 9 years of post-secondary education, so we ain't talking any uneducated person here.
Right.
You know, and to see them give tax breaks to these people who are sitting by the pool, as Tom Hartman sometimes puts it, cashing in their investment income while they're talking about raising taxes on people who work for a paycheck. This is just absolutely criminal. There's no other way to put it.
Well, it is. And that's I don't know if I explained it well enough, but, when we pay our personal property taxes on our cars and our boats. We do that every year here in West Virginia.
Yeah, we do too.
And of course, owning stock is personal property. The tax cuts that went through today were on, you know, capital gains and dividends.
Right.
And it's such a commie concept that nobody even thinks about the fact that no one is taxed for their simple ownership. I have to pay a tax on my house just to keep living in it, even though we so-called own it. If I want to keep driving my car, I have to pay a tax on the simple ownership of it, Fritz.
That's correct.
And, you know, dogs, boats, what have you, and yet, if you're sitting there and you've got a portfolio that's thicker than the New York City phone book, you don't pay a blessed dime on that ownership.
Right. And now they're going to cut back on what they charge you for the income on that ownership.
Yeah. And at the same time, what went down today, and I've got some sound cuts from Nancy Pelosi later in the show, she pointed out the fact that at the same time we did that, we forced young students who want to get an education to borrow more money as opposed to educational assistance in the form of grants.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, we're mortgaging the future of this country so badly. you know, education is the only thing, and especially science education is the only thing that's going to pull us out of this. And they're just they're putting us in the hole for many, many, many generations to come right now.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's awful.
Science does offer some ways out. Our friend Victor sent me an article today about an asteroid called Apophis, A-P-O-P-H-I-S, I believe is what it is. And it's huge, and may very well hit the Earth in 2036.
And well, I'm sure the computer models can probably project that far in advance. Of course, it's a probabilistic situation.
Sure, but the thing is, you know, there's a possible solution there from science.
Yeah,
and yet
absolutely.
At the same time, you've got these right wing religion industry thugs beating the snot out of college professors in Lawrence, Kansas.
Yeah, and having been there also, I take great umbrage to that. You know, Bob, I got to say one more thing, and then I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
Democrat that doesn't stand up and scream loudly about what just went down, you know, to the economic health of the working class of this country is not a real Democrat.
No. No,
they're
you're
a
right.
Joe Lieberman Democrat.
Well,
people need to start screaming.
Yeah, and well, again, I got more. You're going to enjoy the sound if you can listen.
No, I'll definitely be listening.
Okay, great.
Great talking to you.
Oh, good talking to you, Fritz. And stay warm, brother.
Have a great holiday.
All right, you too. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. And keep rolling. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing good.
Oh, I've heard a little rumor about Bush. I can't prove it, but I just heard a rumor.
Okay.
Well, apparently he's in some sort of stage of regression.
Regression?
Yeah.
What's he regressing from?
Well, he's been disappearing into the water closet or the bathroom off of the Oval Office and staying in there for about 45 minutes at a time.
Huh.
Which either, well, at least it proves several things to me.
Okay.
And this is purely speculation on my part. Okay?
I understand that. We do that sometimes.
Okay. He at last has a friend who's not imaginary.
Huh. Yeah.
And, you know, let's see.
Was that the same closet Bill and Monica used, or was that the closet that Warren Gamaliel Harding used?
I don't know. But anyway, he has a friend that's not imaginary, and obviously he's either real good at it or he's either real bad at it. And, you know, my only conclusion is, how much less damage can you do with just one hand?
Oh, you're awful, Jim. You're just awful.
Why?
Oh, thank God. Thank God this isn't the radio. The FCC would already be lining up the fines.
No, listen, don't worry about that. I mean, my God. But, you know, I don't want your listeners to think that I'm, you know, the prince of prudes for...
No, not at all.
For, you know, having to just, you know... make your last call or use the term anal sphincter. He could use the real thing if he wanted.
No, that's okay. That worked really well for me.
Well, okay, that's good. But, you know, I just think that maybe he's just so happy with that 7 or 8% increase he got since he's been really hammered since last.
Yeah, boy, he's up to 40%.
August, I mean, but, you know, anything below 50% is not good.
No, not at, what I think you're really seeing, those numbers are the actual people who voted for him, Jim.
Yeah,
you know, once you get done with the Diebold machines and the ES&S machine and the voter suppression, about 40% of the American people, in some way or another, approve of this fool.
Well, listen, I want to ask you another question. You talked about, they said that they were going to rescind or alleviate the tax on capital gains, right?
Right.
Okay, if you sell your house,
mm-hmm.
Now you have until, what, 18 months to put it into...
Yeah, I believe that's the window.
Put it into another house.
Right.
Or else you have to pay capital gains.
Right, and the formula for capital gains, I remember learning it was just Byzantine.
Yeah, I just wonder, well, is that impacted by this new legislation?
A capital gain is a capital gain, so theoretically, yes.
So basically, if you sold a property or house, you wouldn't have to invest it into another property or house, so you can just bankroll it, spend it, whatever you want to, and not have any fear of the tax man, right?
Party on.
Huh. Well, boy, I'd say they are getting a little liberal with things, aren't they?
Nice word choice. Yeah, what it boils down to is This retains the reduced tax rates on capital gains and dividends in 2009 and 2010. And it was a 234 to 197 vote. And that's pretty, you know, that's pretty close to party lines.
Now, this has a sunset clause in it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. And the other thing I wanted just to mention, that man at the airport yesterday, what I don't understand is this. Obviously, his wife knew that he was on some type of psychotropic medication, correct?
Well, that he was supposed to be. She was yelling that he hadn't taken his medication.
Well, I mean, couldn't someone have given him his medication, or was he beyond that point?
Well, the nature of this stuff, is my understanding, is that if you go off it and then try to take it again, you're not gonna see immediate effect. I mean, it's not like chewing up a Xanax or something.
Well, you know, my question is this: if he were going to fly, now that's basically a very stressful situation for most people, except unless you're Howard Hughes, okay?
Right?
And if you're on some type of medication like that, then she should have seen to it that medicine was not discontinued.
Right.
For example, you and your spouse, I'm sure she would probably monitor, you know, to be sure that you were doing what you were supposed to do if you were in that situation.
Absolutely.
And apparently she was remiss in that duty as far as I'm concerned. And I also think that, you know, I don't know, those guys, now they killed him on the jetway, correct?
Right. He wasn't in the plane.
Well, it would appear to me as though they could have used rubber bullets or something on this man. They didn't have to kill him like that.
Well, but they said he was reaching into a bag and screaming that he had a gun, or a bomb, rather.
Well, apparently they have some type of SOP that they have to follow, and if someone does that, then they cross the Rubicon.
Well, you know the airport regulations. You can't even joke about it. Joking about it is a felony.
Oh, it's always been that way.
Yeah, you can't say. Yeah, you can't say bomb. I mean, if you're flying home for Thanksgiving or something, and you're carrying a bombe, call it a cake.
Yeah, bomba.
Exactly.
Well, I do know that there are certain places where you really can't show your behind. One is the psychiatrist's office, because he will put you in that last room on the left that doesn't have a door to get out of. And another is an airport.
That's true. And, but, you know, one of the things that did occur to me, this was a flight from Medellin, Colombia. Was the husband and wife in Spanish? I don't know.
Well, there are a lot of things about this that I have questions about, and I certainly regretted this man had to be shot like that, and, you know.
Well, at least we know that if Sammy Alito is confirmed to the Supreme Court, he would back up the shooting. After all, he backed up shooting a little black boy in the back of the head.
How did he do that?
Oh, that's one of his opinions. The police shot a non-threatening, fleeing black juvenile in the back of the head to stop his flight. No gun, no nothing, just, you know, that's how they apprehended him.
They just brought him down.
Just executed him.
Where was this?
Alito sits on the Third Circuit, so it was probably, New Jersey, Eastern PA, something like that.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand that type of justice or that type of law enforcement, because, I mean, police brutality is something that, it's just a very horrible thing.
Yeah, the little boy was a suspect. He was fleeing a burglary scene, and the cop yelled, "Stop! Stop!" Little kid didn't stop, so the cop shot him in the back of the head. The kid had $10 in his pocket.
Wow, last of the big-time spender.
Yeah.
A real Al Capone. Well, my friend, listen, that's all I have to say.
All right, that's...
You know, if George comes out wearing a white glove like Michael Jackson, look out, we're in some real trouble.
Oh, my God. That's an image I didn't need, Jim.
See ya.
Later. Oh, mercy. And let's go ahead. I tell you what, since we've had the little chat about the goings-on in the House today, Nancy Pelosi did have some trenchant remarks, I thought. What she said, in essence, in talking about, well, let's listen to her. She says that this is not exactly kid-friendly legislation, this tax cut bill.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Rule 9...
Nope, stop it. Wrong one.
I rise
wrong
in regard
one.
To the question...
Wrong one. There, two.
They are putting the burden of debt on America's children. Individual debt with their student loans and fiscal debt in terms of our national debt and what our kids will be burdened with.
And what you have to do is take that in conjunction with what we discussed last night about the Supreme Court case, 9-0, that said the government can take money away from crippled people in order to pay down their old student loan debt. So, on the one hand, the Republican Congress today said, kids, you want that education, take out more student loans. And by the way, you better stay healthy, because if you get all messed up and you can't work and make the big bucks anymore and you're only pulling down $800 a month on disability, we're coming after it. Oh, by the way, while we've got the biggest deficit in history, let's give out another tax cut for our rich donors. Isn't that charming? Am I to understand that these are the traditional American family values that the Republicans are constantly talking about? Is this that Ward and June Cleaver America where we've got where we can give tax cuts for the richest 1/5 of 1%, as Congressman John Lewis noted today? We've got tax cuts for the richest 1/5 of 1% in this country, but we can cut kids off of, the school lunch program. We can cut, food stamps. It turns my stomach when I think about people on fixed incomes who struggle to eat anything. You know, the cat food kids. When I think about them, and then I think about how they have given and sacrificed and suffered so that Muffy and Brit can have a new $10,000 umbrella stand.
But there is a bright side to all of it, Bob.
Oh, do tell me.
Where are they going to go?
Who?
The tax break people, the rich. There's nowhere in the world they're going to be safe. America is a hated nation now.
No, oh, they'll just
where you go.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they're not hated here. Look at VH1. Lifestyles of the fabulously stinking rich. Paris Hilton bought a diamond-studded collar for her little chihuahua. Look how we idolize them.
But see, they like to take vacations abroad. They don't want to vacation here. They've been here.
Oh, sure they do. Martha's Vineyard, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Yeah, there's plenty of posh vacation. Ono Island, Alabama.
Honey,
nice place.
They like the Mediterranean.
No, honey, they're not going anywhere. They're staying right here. And we're idolizing them. Seriously, have you ever watched VH1? It just makes me crazy. I'll walk into the living room sometimes and the Lifestyles of the Stinking Rich or whatever that show is will be on there, and it's Britney Spears bought it. Oh, God. And I go back to what was the debate between Hemingway and F. Scott Fitzgerald, and F. Scott Fitzgerald said, the rich aren't like you and me. And I get, of course not. They've got themselves a government now. Now, most of let's not kid ourselves. Abraham Lincoln meant well when he was talking about all that government by the people, of the people, and for the people. Andrew Jackson, I think, actually meant it. But mostly it's government for the money, government of the money, and government by the money. If you had any doubts about that, you saw it in action today. When an entire political party will stand up and give tax breaks to people who don't even need them. I mean, do you honestly believe that Paris Hilton needs a tax cut? She's got a monkey now. She had, I guess the novelty of the Chihuahua wore off. She's got a monkey. Is it a monkey? No, it's not really a monkey. I forget what it is, but it's not a monkey per se. But the thing's name is Baby Love. And she took it with her to a lingerie show. What's the name of the company? Agent Provocateur. And the animal went bananas and destroyed the place. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of damage. No big deal. Paris just writes a check. And yeah, you know what? She is the poster child for the people that George Bush and his little toadies in the House were passing tax relief for. Now, would you hang out with the likes of that? I mean, I like beautiful women as much as the next guy. But there's a hell of a lot of beauty in the mind. Can you imagine having to carry on a conversation with Paris Hilton?
I'm so hot.
Thank you, Paris. So I don't know if I'm getting my point across, but yeah, that's who got the tax cuts today. Now, the only hope in this is that it may not be reconcilable with the Senate's package. But it was at least a symbolic gesture from, the Republican House to its masters. You know, it's the whole RCA thing next to the big megaphone speaker on the old Victrola, his master's voice. And the Republicans' master's voice is the voice of Citicorp. And MBNA, and the insurance cartels. That's who matters to the Republican Party, because it's darn sure not you and me. At least not the way I see it. So let's take our break for the top of the hour. When we come back, I've got an extended piece of sound for you. That's what I had Agnes start by accident. It's going to take a while to listen, but it is a beautiful indictment of the culture of corruption that is the Republican Party. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a fight out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ad Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Did you go somewhere? I didn't go anywhere. Some things become almost like vocal tics. Welcome back. Like you left and decided, no, I'm not gone. Anyway, I am glad to have you on board. I always am. Shout-outs and heys and howdies to our friends at DU, Democratic Underground, and our pals in the Tom Hartman chat room, the guys at Fourth Estate, and our friends at Coal River Mountain Watch. It's just good company to have. I'd rather hang out with you guys than any number of CEOs. Or Paris Hilton. Or Nicole Richie. Or Mel Gibson or Bruce Willis or any of those people. So we were talking before the end of the hour about what went down in the House today, the big corporate giveaway. It's a corporate giveaway. Sure it is. It's what we give away to our betters. And I've got an extended piece of sound for you. Not because I was too lazy to cut it, but because it's atmospheric. It's 6 minutes long. It's Nancy Pelosi introducing a resolution of privilege today on the floor of the House. You would think, because after all, the Republicans, they're the family values people, right? Yeah, sure. They're the Christian people. They're the upstanding, morally superior people to us, godless, pinko, commie liberals. So Ms. Pelosi gets up and introduces a resolution of privilege. And I want you to hear the behavior. The behavior of these gentlemen and gentle ladies of the Republican Party.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Rule 9, I rise in regard to the question of the privileges of the House, and I send to the desk a privileged resolution.
The clerk will read the resolution.
Whereas the recurring practice of improperly holding votes open for the sole purpose of overturning the will of the majority, including bullying,
is not in order.
The lady from California is correct. The House is not in order. The clerk will read the privilege resolution.
Whereas the recurring practice of improperly holding votes open for the sole purpose of overturning the will of the majority, including bullying and threatening members to vote against their conscience, has occurred 8 times since 2003 and 3 times in the 109th Congress alone. Whereas on November 22, 2003, the Republican leadership held open the vote on H.R. 1, the prescription drug conference report, for nearly 3 hours, the longest period of time in the history of electronic voting in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Mr. Speaker, the House is not in order.
They still won't give her the respect.
I know you don't want to
of
hear
an ordinary member.
The House is not in order. The clerk will read.
Whereas the normal period of time for a recorded vote is 15 minutes, and the Speaker of the House has reiterated that policy on opening day of each Congress by saying, the chair announced, and then strictly enforced a policy of closing electronic votes as soon as possible after the guaranteed period of 15 minutes. Whereas the sole purpose of holding the prescription drug vote open was to undermine the will of the House and reverse the position.
Lady, clerk will suspend. Clerk may proceed.
Whereas the sole purpose of holding the prescription drug vote open was to undermine the will of the House and reverse the position that a majority of the House of Representatives had taken during the entire vote. Whereas it was widely reported in the press that former Representative Nick Smith, Republican Michigan, was bribed on the House floor, and the incident was described in Robert Novak's column in the Chicago Sun-Times, November 27, 2003.
It's not in order.
The clerk will suspend. House will be in order.
What are they having, a kegger?
Clerk may resume.
Nick Smith was told business interests would give his son $100,000 in return for his father's vote. When he still declined, fellow Republican House members told him they would make sure Smith never came to Congress.
Mr. Speaker, gentlemen from Indiana.
I'd like to raise a point of order. I know that we're talking about a previous member, but is it in order for them to impugn the integrity of the House or a previous member by making statements like that in a resolution of this type?
It's in order first for the clerk to read the resolution. The clerk will proceed.
After Rep. Nick Smith voted no, the bill passed. Rep. Duke Cunningham of California and other Republicans taunted him that his son was dead meat.
You remember Duke, don't you?
Whereas the cost of the prescription drug bill was a critical factor in determining the votes of many members of Congress, and Richard S. Foster, the chief actuary for the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services, conducted numerous estimates indicating the cost to be much higher, including a June 11th...
Clerk will suspend. Clerk may proceed.
Including a June 11, 2003 analysis of a similar plan in the Senate, which would have cost $551 billion over 10 years, and members were not made aware of this. Whereas the Congressional Budget Office, CBO, estimated the cost of the Republican prescription drug bills to be $395 billion over 10 years, and yet just 2 months after the vote in Congress, Joshua Bolton, director of the Office of Management and Budget, disclosed that the administration's estimate of the cost was actually $534 billion. Whereas Representative Bill Thomas, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee and a key negotiator on the bill, told HH Secretary Thompson on February 10, 2004, in a hearing before the Ways and Means Committee, "I know some people were surprised that your HHS number was high. I personally was not." Hearing transcript, February 10, 2004. Whereas Representative Nancy Johnson, the chairman of the...
Clerk will suspend. Clerk may proceed.
Whereas Representative Nancy Johnson, the chairman of the Ways and Means Health Subcommittee and a key negotiator on the bill, said she knew of the higher estimates and stated, "Absolutely, we knew about these numbers." The New York Times, March 18, 2004. Whereas the Republican leadership and the Committee of Jurisdiction chose to ignore the warnings of higher cost estimates and intentionally misled members of the House for the sole purpose of winning passage of an extremely controversial bill. Whereas in a clear conflict of interest, the chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, former Representative Billy Tozan, Republican Louisiana, was actively engaged in a job search with the pharmaceutical industry at the same time that he was a key negotiator on major provisions in the bill, and after its passage,
really?
He subsequently left Congress to take a highly paid executive position
with
the pharmaceutical lobby and is reportedly making many times his congressional salary.
Clerk will suspend. House is not in order. Clerk may proceed.
Whereas the Republican leadership's submissiveness to the influence of corporate interests and their illegitimate efforts to overturn the will of the House to pass lawless legislation like the prescription drug bill, which was written to meet the needs of drug companies, call into question the legitimacy of the laws they enact and the agenda they pursue. Whereas the culture of corruption has so permeated the Republican leadership that they will violate their own rules and customs of decorum of the House to win votes on the floor of the House of Representatives.
The House is not in order.
House will be in order. The House will be in order.
Mr. Speaker.
The House...
Unanimous consent request.
Gentlemen's recognized for unanimous consent request.
I missed some of this. Could she start over?
Object.
The House is not in order. The clerk may proceed.
Therefore, be it resolved that the House denounce the culture of corruption exhibited by the Republican leadership, denounce the ongoing resort to illegitimate actions taken to pass legislation like the prescription drug bill under false pretenses, rejects the practice of improperly holding votes open beyond a reasonable period of time for the sole purpose of circumventing the will of the House, and directs the Speaker to take such steps as necessary to prevent any further abuse.
The resolution qualifies. For what purpose the gentleman from Florida seek recognition?
Speaker, I move to table the resolution.
Motion is to table. Question is
that's
on the motion.
That's a gutless
table
little
resolution.
Republican
all those
saying,
in favor say aye.
I've heard enough.
Those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it.
Speaker, on that I ask for a recorded vote.
Recorded vote is requested. Those who are favoring a recorded vote will rise. A sufficient number has arisen. A recorded vote is ordered. Members will record their votes by electronic device. This will be a 15-minute vote.
And that's pretty much it. Now, that's the longest soundbite I have ever run on this program.
You know something? If they were in class, they would have all been sent to the principal's office.
Well, yeah, they're bullies. The Republican Party is full of bullies.
And that's the people who represent us.
Well, not us.
I've seen hockey games a lot better than that.
Yeah, I know what you mean, dear. Tell you what, let's take a quick break and come back, and I'd be interested in your thoughts. What good is it to have a House of Representatives when they're filled with just a bunch of rude, nasty, hateful thugs like those Republicans? What good is it? Shut it down. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
A few months later, I get a letter back saying thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
What is it that brings you to this part of town? Curiosity, conscience, or faith? I know it's not love, 'cause I once gave you love, and all you showed me was the gate. I got a feeling you'd come back to just rub it in and to really put me in my place. You've already put big old tears in my eyes. Must you throw dirt in my face?
Must you keep okay, so. How many times in that clip from Nancy Pelosi, how many times did we hear, the House is not in order? 4, 6, 8, 10, a dozen? How many times did the Republican Party show itself to be so god-awfully disrespectful that they couldn't even be quiet long enough for a resolution to be read? And Nancy Pelosi was right in what she said. You don't want to hear it, but you're going to. Because everything she said was fact. The testimony she cited about the dirty, rotten, corrupt way in which the pharmaceutical company welfare bill, otherwise known as HR1, the prescription drug benefit legislation, everything she cited about that was fact. It was hammered through as a gimme, as a gift for the pharmaceutical industry, and had absolutely nothing to do with the well-being of our seniors. If it had anything to do with the well-being of our seniors, and I've mentioned this before, it would the receipt of that benefit would not have been tied to a cut in a woman's food stamp benefits. And again, those were the White House's own numbers when they projected that a woman living on $700 and some odd a month fixed income Social Security would have her $27 of food stamps reduced to 10. Those were George Bush's people's numbers. That's not some liberal website out there trying to make up stuff to make George look bad. Like dear old Dad says, he doesn't need any help being made to look bad. He does it all by himself. But how many times did you hear, the house is not in order? I lost count. But the fact of the matter is, the house is not in order. The people's house, the House of Representatives, is not in order. The House of Representatives has been out of order since that coup, that junta led by Newt Gingrich in 1994 came in and besmirched the place on its filth and its lies and its corruptions and its, perversions of what America really means. How much time have they spent in the last 11 years trying to screw poor people? Take away Social Security. Destroy social safety nets, all for the benefit of their masters. Remember, it's the RCA label, their master's voice. The House of Representatives is out of order. The House of Representatives is flat broken. As long as they're doing things like what they did today with this $56 billion giveaway, to the richest 1/5 of 1% in America. As long as they're doing that, they could just as well be doing nothing. It is a useless place. Yes, dear.
Well, and I think one thing that shouldn't be forgotten, when Bush came here and came to Parkersburg.
Oh, yeah, Bureau of the Public Debt.
Exactly. When he came to the Social Security Department, there were 20 billion dollars in IOUs.
Yeah, these are worthless IOUs.
Do you seriously think...
Those were T-bills, dear.
Yes. Do you seriously think it's going to be put back in? They want to complain that there's no money there. It's because they've taken it.
Sure.
So, don't think that people hasn't been paying into it and that it was a safety net designed for that. I'm losing my voice.
Yes, you are. See, that's what happens. That's what happens when you sit there and you scream at the sound bites, dear. Yeah, I remember that. Came to the Bureau of the Public Debt. Dear leader did and said, "That's a bunch of worthless IOUs. T-bills, treasury bills, 30-year treasury bills, worthless IOUs." You know, talk like that can get a panic started. Talk like, you know, that's the financial equivalent of him standing there, "Bring them on." Oh, it makes my head hurt. But yeah, the House of Representatives is broken into a million pieces. We have a chance across America in 2006 to put it back together and let it start doing the people's business again. But it's a long shot. Tell you what, we've got to take our break. Coming up, your evening's installment of the Cup of Joe report from our pal Joe Vecchio. I think you'll enjoy it. If I'm not mistaken, Joe sounded a little irritated this evening. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Go to sleep, you little babe. Go to sleep, you little babe.
Go to sleep, you little babe.
Your mama's gone away and your dad's gonna stay. Nobody but the baby. Go to sleep, you little babe.
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 Everybody's gone in the cotton and the corn. Didn't leave nobody but the baby.
I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, "Reconsider your labor practices." A few months later, I get a letter back saying, "Thanks for being a loyal customer," and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Productivity is another one of those key words that well-paid, college-educated economists glowingly use when talking about how great American workers are. Sleazy corporations are also in love with the P-word because it means more bang for the buck from their employees. For those of us at the bottom, it means we're working harder for less money. It's no surprise to me that economists and corporate weasels love the idea of productivity. After all, how much money they make depends a great deal on how much work they can get out of their employees. No, what surprises me is how many working people share this attitude, especially when they know how hard they're working. You would think that we'd all be in favor of more money, less work, more vacation time, and better benefits. But instead, many of us have this mindset that there's somehow something noble about work for work's sake. In some cases, people even seem to think getting ripped off by their employers is the way things should be. And they hope they get their chance to be the man. And then they go out and elect politicians who support the corporations at their expense, politicians who tell them how work will make them free. Get a clue, people. There's nothing noble or dignified about poverty. Working harder for less money isn't something you should be proud of, it's something you should be ashamed of. And if you elect thieves, you're going to get ripped off. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Not us. Completely believable. Fact-based. Reality-based. That's me. That's Agnes. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And the phone number is a quick reminder. 877, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366. Email Bob at headonradio.com. Or, for that matter, if you feel like telling her what an abomination she is, Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, at headonradio.com. You gargoyle. about 26 minutes before the hour, we're halfway through tonight's show, and I have to agree with our pal Joe Vecchio. There is no nobility in poverty, and there is no grace in need. The only people who ever talk that crap are the people who have never known it. The only people, it's just like the idea of the noble savage. The same people who were busily slaughtering the Native Americans were talking about the noble savage. And, you know, the deader they got, the more noble they were. Just by the same token, the only people you ever hear saying that money can't buy you happiness are people who have no money and no happiness. So, you know, that whole nobility of poverty crap is something that's generated to keep, you know, it's a sop thrown to the poor. Yeah, we'll tell you you're noble, but we ain't going to give you any more money. Let's go to the phones again. Jim's back with us. Hey, Jim, your head on.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
Thank you.
Ain't that the truth, really? You know, I listened to that soundbite, and I assumed that was the evening that they passed the notorious and infamous H.R. 1 bill.
Well, no, the long soundbite was today.
today.
Yeah, that was a resolution of privilege that Nancy Pelosi introduced, cataloging point by point, blow by blow, the culture of corruption of the Republican leadership. And it drove them crazy. Listening to them, it was like a gang of vampires in a hall of mirrors at Versailles.
I see. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The night they passed that H.R. 1 bill, truly, you talk about a day that will live in infamy.
Oh, it was political thuggery of the first order.
Well, you know, and the way they got that final vote was just by pure intimidation and threatening. I mean, this is the kind of tactics that Hitler used, for example, on the president of Czechoslovakia. I think it was March of 39 when he had the poor old man come up to Berlin and he was sick.
Yeah.
And he led him into the Reich Chancellery and his new Chancellery and his 90-foot office, 90-foot high office. And, you know, the man was so sick that he passed out
mm-hmm.
because of the intimidation. And then he had his Herr Spritzenmeister Morell, his personal doctor who gave him all those shots, give this guy a shot. But he gave him too much, and he said he almost gave the old boy too much stomach back and spleen to stand up to him. But, I mean, this is exactly the same type of threat.
Well, yeah, and in the resolution, Jim, she recounted blow by blow, as reported by none other than Robert Novak, what was done on the floor that night that H.R. 1 was passed when they came up to Nick Smith and said, you know, we've got a $100,000 donation for your boy if you'll just vote for the bill. And when he voted against it, Jim, Duke Cunningham, who knows from bribery, came up and looked Nick Smith in the eye and said, "Your boy is dead meat."
Well,
what a nice bunch.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. Certain laws can be undone. And if you read that bill, now, when it passed, Nick Rahal managed to get me a complete copy of it,
mm-hmm.
and it is the likes of which you have never seen.
Oh, Byzantine in the extreme.
And when you see the pay bans and the advantage bans that it offers for seniors for drugs and stuff like that, and how when these people are at the height of their need for drugs, that's where these programs will pay the very least.
Well, exactly, and you know, my educational background, there was a lot of literature and stuff, and I studied a lot of haiku in college, Jim.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a spareness and a sparseness and an elegant minimalism to that. And I think you can apply that to government, too. We need a prescription drug benefit for our seniors. I think that's a given.
You know, speaking of haiku, there's one verse that I remember. You can see the moon more clearly when your house is burned down.
Yeah.
And that was written by a Japanese radiologist who was the attending physician to those people at Hiroshima after the atomic bomb.
Goodness.
But, I mean,
well, yeah. What I'm getting at here is, you know, we need a prescription drug benefit for our senior citizens. They deserve it. As Americans. And what we needed was a bill that said the government will pay for the drugs of our senior citizens. Simple, right? Elegant. Minimalist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not something the size of half of a metropolitan phone book that lays out exactly how we're going to give the treasury away to Big Pharma.
Well, that's what they've done. They have basically sold programs like Medicaid, particularly, and this Medicare prescription thing that they have. I mean, this is so complex, and they have they've counted on it being so complex and so confusing that a lot of these people do not have the ability to decide which HMO into which they will be placed, because that's what it does.
Well, I'm no dummy, Jim, and I my wife and I tried to go through it some just with my dad. For informational purposes, and
you
after
can't understand it.
After a while, I felt like I was all liquored up. It was just, it was horrifying.
Well, it's basically written in such language to confuse, not to clarify, and to obfuscate, and not to, you know, make the obvious real. And it's written with, you know, with so many escape clauses for the drug companies and so many caveats.
Well, when I heard,
I mean, you know, you don't know which one it would be, and you know, I just, and when, you know, I just thank God that I could just keep the regular insurance that I have, and they said stay away from it.
Yeah. Well, when I heard, Jim, and this just did it for me, that included in this bill, and we all know this now, included in this bill, Jim, is that that caveat, that provision that says that the federal government is forbidden, you know, verboten, from actually negotiating for lower prices from the companies.
Exactly.
That's like when I knew it was corporate welfare.
Or buying drugs from Canada or places like that.
Yeah, it's corporate welfare.
And then they tried to make it look like the drugs from Canada were inferior. Well, I don't see that many Canadians who are hurting from using those medications. And I imagine there's still a pretty brisk business of the border states of Canada, of people going over there to buy them.
Oh, yeah, and down to Tijuana, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, you know.
Because we're making them all here and shipping them there. It's not like there's any difference in the drugs.
Well, exactly. And, you know, for example, you can take the drug Actos. All right, let's take one drug, okay?
Okay.
And this is a drug that will help the body metabolize sugar.
Okay.
Diabetics.
Right.
Do you know how many 30 Actos cost, 30 milligrams?
No.
$280.
Jeez.
Okay.
And, of course, I'm sure there's no generic for it yet.
No, there's no generic. And for Lipitor, there's no generic.
Right.
And that is an anti-cholesterol-type drug. And these people are absolutely robbing anyone they can. They don't care.
The production cost, that, you know, that 240, that 280, whatever, the production cost isn't even 1% of that.
Well, the R&D's already gone in to develop the drug, okay? And that's the one-time thing.
Yeah.
Once they get the, and then, you know, as far as, now, when you get a generic drug, the difference between the other and the generic is the generic has different types of fillers.
Right, binders, that kind of things.
That's basically all there is to it.
But in the name brand drugs, and it's been shown by consumer organizations time and time again, Jim, that the cost that you cited there, those costs are marketing costs.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, those aren't production line. This is how much it costs to make a pill. That's the cost for the cute little animated ad on TV that shows the woman, holding up different dresses and saying, you know, call Big Pharma at 1-800-SCREW-YOU. You know, that's what that is.
Well, you know, they will call you and they will misrepresent themselves, the respective people from. Whoever Medicaid or Medicare has contracted out or these drug companies, and they will call you and they will represent themselves as being members of or employees of Health and Human Services.
Right.
And a couple of them call me, and believe you me, they wish they hadn't.
Well, see, you're a sharp consumer, though, Jim. If you catch them once, they giggle. Because they know that for every time they get caught, there are 99 people who are just going to swallow the hook.
Well, I asked the guy, I said, what's your GS rating? And he said, what are you talking about? I said, you're a federal employee. You're a member. You're a employee of Health and Human Services. What's your civil service grade? Huh?
No, he's,
I said, you're some contractor that they have contracted to, or somebody else has subcontracted to call. And I said, look. And I said, I didn't catch your name. And he refused to give me his name.
Sure.
And what I said to him, I can't repeat on the air, but I guarantee he won't call here again.
No, he's called 1,000 other places, though.
Oh, yeah. And these people misrepresent themselves as being actual employees of the federal government, and they get some poor lady on there who's in her 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
Or some poor guy who doesn't know, you know, how this.
And it's an active fraud.
It is active fraud. That's exactly what it is.
I've seen it happen. There's a telemarketing outfit over in Mount Hope. And this is a slightly different situation. But those people are just telemarketers employed by that company. That they have no connection whatsoever to the people on whose behalf they're calling, and they'll call and they'll say, Hi, this is Bill from JCPenney. Or from Sears, or from, MasterCard, or whatever. They don't work for MasterCard.
Oh, no, no, no. I told you how I dealt with telemarketers, haven't I?
Airhorn?
How I dealt with one telemarketer years ago.
Huh.
Well, I'll make this quick, and don't cut me off now because it's kind of a funny story.
Okay, go right ahead.
Well, this woman calls you up, and she says, good evening, sir. I want to inform you that you have won a very valuable prize, and in order to win this prize, you must answer this question. And I said, okay, what is it? And she said, what is an everyday household seasoning that goes with pepper, and it's white? And I just said, well, let me think. And after about, oh, as long as I can string it out, I don't know. And she was getting frustrated, real frustrated. And she said, I is authorized to provide you with one additional hint. And I said, well, thank you. And she said, I want you to get in your kitchen and see it's got a round box with a blue cover, and it's got on the logo, if it rains, it pours. And I said, well, let me go in there and see if I can find it. So I went in, went to the bathroom, made myself a drink. Fed cats, lit up a cigarette, and, you know, put some ice cubes in my glass and, you know, had a nice highball and sat down, and I said, I don't know. And that woman said to me, you have got to be, and this is what she said to me, the dumbest son of a bitch I have ever talked to, and I ain't ever going to call you again. You just plumb nasty.
And you know what? That woman probably tells that story around the Thanksgiving table every year. You made her life, Jim.
Well, listen, let me tell you something, Bob. I've got a CD called Pull My Finger, and I'm not going to go into that. But when they call here, I just put that thing on, and they asked me, they said, sir, are you all right? I think you need to take care of your personal business. And I could hear the woman say to her cohort, I ain't going to call that man no more. He nasty. I'm not kidding. I love to play with them.
Oh, you know, it's, yeah, like a cat playing with a mouse.
Well, listen, I've taken enough of your time. I'll let you
All right, Jim, thanks for the laugh. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You nasty. Oh, God. Let's take a break real quick. I got to get this. I got to get the laughter out of my system.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you say, live and let die.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
She felt needed. If love was red, then she was colorblind. All her friends will have been tried for treason and crime.
Thanks for sticking around. Phone numbers 877-443-2366, 304-658-3333. I'm Bob. That's Savage Garden. And I did. I took the break to have myself a first-rate giggle. Let's move on a little bit.
Bob hates my music, so any suggestions
would be
great.
I don't hate your music. I don't hate your music. Stop that. Help, help. The paranoids are after me. I don't know if you've run across this, but the ongoing nightmare that is Condoleezza Rice's European tour. She's not having the best time of it. She's meeting with NATO. She met with NATO foreign ministers today for formal talks. But this whole business of us running a little retail torture empire in Eastern Europe is not sitting too well. Can you imagine being the representative of a sovereign European state and find out that we'd set up torture bases inside your country? Thanks. One of them's in Kosovo. Ew. But there is a lady named Louise Arbour, and she is a member of the United Nations Human Rights Commission. She's a former Supreme Court Justice from Canada. You know, not exactly just off the turnip truck. And she said reports that the U.S. is using secret overseas sites to torture and interrogate suspects harms the moral authority of the United States. Well, she's right. And she wanted to inspect any such facilities. Boy, did she just took a big old swing with a broom handle right at a hornet's nest. Because John Bolton, he of the really creepy porn mustache, came out and said, "It is inappropriate and illegitimate for an international civil servant to second-guess the conduct that we're engaged in the war on terror with nothing more as evidence than what she reads in the newspapers." Yeah. That's all we've got there, John, Michael, whichever Bolton you are. That's all we got. Because they're secret torture prisons. It's not like, you know, it's not like the old Warner Brothers cartoon where the neon signs up over the castle, you know, "Mad scientist, boo, mad scientist, boo, mad scientist, boo." No, sorry, no. It's all we've got to go on. But it is inappropriate to criticize the United States for torturing people. Oh, it would be so funny. It would be so funny if it wasn't so earnestly and bloodily serious. Oh, it is to weep. But Louise Arbour is inappropriate and illegitimate. Let's go to the phones real quick. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Hello there, Bob.
How you doing?
It's always a pleasure to you, but by golly, that abomination, babe. Now, that's a find. I'm not kidding you.
So I know.
Oh, well, let's get the fun out of the way, and then I'll get sort of serious. Telemarketers, how to have fun with telemarketers. I came up with a while back. It's an outgrowth of an old radio routine. If I pick up the phone and there's one on there, I always say, "Who's calling, please?" Well, this is so-and-so calling for David. Da-da-da-da-da. And I go, "Oh, okay, hold on, I'll get him." Now, I don't know how the cell phone works for this, but I know how to do it properly with a handset. I take the phone away from, you know, a little away from the head, and I go, "Dad, it's for you." "Dad, really? No, they need to talk to you. Be sure and wipe before you pull them up, Dad." And then I make little football sounds with the phone down there, and there's a little tiny bit of heavy breathing, and then there's, "Hello?" That's when the fun really begins.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Especially if it's a young lady. "Oh, are you a young lady? Where are your hands?" Usually they hang up on me. I don't quite understand why. But anyway, it breaks up a winter evening if I forget to let it go through the answering machine. But getting back to Nancy Pelosi, I praise her and I give her all the good compliments in the world. She got that read into the record of the House, right?
Yeah.
I mean, voted up, voted down, tabled, never heard from again, but it's in the record. It's spoken word, legitimately offered by a member of the House, therefore, it's written down.
Yeah.
And there's not a word that isn't the God's honest truth.
Yeah, and if we had a real media in this country, David, it would be front page news tomorrow.
It would be front page news on every point she brought up, reminding everybody in case you missed it. And I really love, very seldom do I disagree with you. I don't want that kind of behavior shut down. I want more tape like that. I want more fodder for Democratic commercials and awareness pieces. And I want some candidates to step up and act like they've got a backbone.
Yeah.
Stop fighting. You know, forget this routine. What's the routine about a third party? No, we don't really need a third party. We need a true second.
Yeah, exactly.
We need them to just act on that and do more of that with ads, with campaigns. If the 06 campaign doesn't really stop trying to be Republican-like, Republican-friendly, Republican almost like them, and that's why I just am horrified at Hillary Clinton.
Yes, it's an outreach.
No, it's not.
It's an intervention.
When you reach out to a Republican, you lose fingers.
Yeah, you draw back a bloody stump.
You're absolutely right. They know they have an advantage, and they will hit you where the hand left. It's so foolish. I mean, triangulation was one thing and 12 years ago, and that was beautiful strategy. And I can't say that some of what Bill Clinton did isn't a bad thing in a more conservative situation. Look at what those programs did after 8 years. He was more Republican.
Yeah.
The joke was he's the finest Republican a president elected in the last 25 years.
No, it wasn't that much of a joke.
Well,
But when you heard that screaming and howling, I mean, it was as though that resolution, David, was being read live somewhere in the monkey house, in the Bronx Zoo.
Oh, there was water on the witch. There was nothing left but the shoes.
Oh, that's a good one too. But in all sincerity, we still have, and I've got a soundbite from a cretin named what's his name here? Yeah, okay, Phil Gingrey, not Gingrich, Gingrey. He's also from Georgia. He's also a Republican. I got sound from him remonstrating against Ms. Pelosi and telling her how to do her job.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well,
just,
I look after break, I'm going to look forward to hearing that one off the air.
It's gorgeous. But the fact of the matter is, what I thought about when I heard all that howling and that, you know, trying to scream, you know, they weren't trying to scream down Nancy Pelosi, for God's sakes. They were trying to scream down the clerk of the House of Representatives.
Ultimately, they were trying to scream down the citizenry of the United States.
Yeah. And if you go back to Florida in 2000. There's a photograph, Bart Kopp has a version of it somewhere along the way, that shows number by number by number, and it was at the Dade County Election Office. It was a whole gang. It was a putsch of Republican operative brown shirts screaming down the counting of the ballots in Dade County. It was the same thing in there today.
Well, rather than a duly elected official exercising her natural rights within that body, they wanted to scream her down. So instead of that, they were screaming down one vote at a time, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's exactly what it was. I would like for there to be more of this to play with, David. But again, some of that has to do with there being an outlet somewhere out there that will make use of it. And it can't all fit on The Daily Show.
No, it can't, unfortunately, and it's less and less and less. I've become truly, truly worried about outlets like the New York Times, the Washington Post, papers I cared about. I for years felt like the New York Times was the gold standard, and that's not the case anymore. They have been so missing in action.
Well, so compromised.
Oh, and compromised.
The damage that Judith Miller did to the New York Times, David, will be 20 years in the mitigation.
If they work at it.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I have a subscription to a little magazine called The Progressive, and I have a subscription to a little newspaper called The Christian Science Monitor.
Can't beat either one of those with a stick.
And I make time for both. And after that, you know, I occasionally look up ball scores.
Well, you know, that's equally valid, too.
Oh, wait a second. What's that, Dad? You say, you want to talk to Bob?
No. We'll talk to you later, David.
Bye, Bob.
See ya. Okay, we're a little late in the break, but that was a great call, and I didn't mind. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, come back, and start up Hour 3, even though we've already started it. What do you say?
Well, I've had a good night. Man, this budget's been all right. Dancing to the sounds when the opposites of cheers. The best is for a bit of old scotch. It's so dirty when it's in the right mood. Give it some brandy and some Chinese food. Take a first fan in the stereo jack.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8th, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq war and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
You know, Agnes has actually caught me talking in my sleep. And it's not like I'm, you know, ooh, baby, you know, will thee kiss me in the dark. No, in my sleep. 877-443-2366. That's where it is with me. That's where it needs to get with you guys. So if the spirit is on you, heck, you can speak in tongues. I don't care. But, you know, if you want to, pick up the phone. Hey, quit making your head spin all the way around, Agnes. And a quick note out there, a very special happy birthday to our dear friend Katie. Hope something special's going on. Something extra nice. Very happy birthday, what, Sagittarius? Yeah, we're not to Capricorn yet, are we? Yeah, Sagittarius, I guess. So very happy birthday. Back in the first hour, Fritz mentioned being first generation American. And this is something that, again, if we had a legitimate media out there, there would be, you know, at least some discussion, because this is one of those things that are in the works if we don't stop these godless, soulless, motherless Republicans in the year 2006. This is something that will happen if we don't stop them between now and then. This is something that will happen if our Democrats do not stand together united and figure out that there is, there are certain things you do when you're the opposition party or the minority party. Headline, conservatives look at ending birthright citizenship for immigrants. Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Here, let's make it simpler. Cons want to say that they will pick who gets to be citizens. Cons want only white people to be made citizens. That's what it boils down to, because what they're mad about is that, you know what the rule is. If you're born here, by God, you're an American. You know, because this isn't England or France or ancient Russia where there was some sort of landed gentry and, corruption of the blood.
Oh, but you're wrong, because that's what we're going back to.
Well, that's, yeah.
And
well,
I'm waiting for debtor's prison to come and, you know, for them. Is there any colonies they can send us off to?
Are there? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
The moon, Alice, the moon.
The Caribbean would be nice. I'd like to suggest that.
No, I don't think you'd like Devil's Island as much as you think you would. That was in the Caribbean, you know. But seriously, if you're born here, you're an American. That was enough, and it stood well since the Civil War era. And they've come up, you know, just as our troops have been trained to call the brown people in Iraq Hajis. Hateful Republicans call the U.S.-born children of illegal immigrants anchor babies. Anchor babies. You know, I thought these freaks were pro-life. I thought they were pro-children.
I rebuke it in the name of the Lord!
I thought they cared about the littlest ones. Oh, wait. only until they're born, I know. They see people are coming here simply for the purpose of having a child here, and then because they're the anchor, they can have all the family come on in on that child's ticket. There are thousands upon thousands of people who are doing it, said Representative Tom Tancrepo, or Tancredo, Republican, Colorado.
What happened to not too long ago when Bush was saying that he wanted immigrants to come in and take over the jobs that the Americans were
wouldn't
too
do.
Lazy
yeah,
to do? What happened to that?
To change the way we establish citizenship is such an extreme measure, it makes you really question what is motivating. You see, according to the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, that's what gave former slaves U.S. citizenship. See, I told you it was a mistake. The 14th Amendment was a terrible, terrible mistake. Everything started going downhill when we give them the citizenship. Oh, God, there are people out there who think that way. They vote Republican, by the way. The 14th Amendment gives citizenship to anyone born on U.S. soil. And these guys want to overturn that. Tom Tancrepo, Tancredo. Again, it's another one of those cases of people whose thought processes I can't comprehend. How can you be that full of hate? Well, they're taking away America. We all know what the real answer to the illegal immigration problem is. If you start busting and sending to the big house for several years anyone caught employing illegal immigrants, don't punish a poor person for being desperate enough to take any job that they can get in order to feed their family. Quit crapping on the poor. Yeah.
Something even better than that. This is almost like the law that they passed in Texas about marriage. Do you realize if they pass this law, none of us are actually Americans? I mean, I'm sure everyone can trace back their roots.
Well, we all came from somewhere else. There's no doubt about that.
We came from somewhere else. So does that mean that we all have to be sent back to where our forefathers originally
came? Well, no. We're white, honey. We're white.
Well, we're all red inside, last time I checked.
Well, not to the Tom Tancredos of the world.
Then maybe we need to find them someplace to go.
The moon, Alice. The moon. See, if you get right down to it, every single motive of a Republican you can trace back to some form of bigotry and some form of visceral fear. These are people who live in fear. And they function by some sort of persecution complex. They'd like to eliminate the... Can you imagine that? The 14th Amendment? They want to eliminate the 14th Amendment to the Constitution? How much more proof do you need that the majority party in the United States today is a gang of bigoted racists? Seems simple enough to me now. And who else's citizenship do you think they might like to go after? Well, if you listen to Ann Coulter, of course, you know that Democrats should be denied First Amendment protections. If you listen to Michael Reagan earlier this week, you know that he thinks Howard Dean should be, and I quote, hung for treason. This is a... I fear, you know, within, if not my children's time, then within the time of my grandchildren, when everything comes together, our friend Gary talks from time to time about massive paradigm shifts. I have a legitimate fear that we will see civil war in this country. And it is a war that the right wing wants to wage on the rest of us. And the goal of that war will be to establish their religion, their thoughts, their politics, their morals on everyone else, and their goal will be the absolute dissolution of our constitutional form of government. Be afraid. Be very afraid. And in your fear, be vigilant. And in your vigilance, be ruthless. This is Head On.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
You believe what you are.
So let's grind the gears a little bit and kick it in reverse. Back up just a little bit. I played for you Nancy Pelosi's comments from earlier today, and trenchant ones as well, they are. She put a fine point on what it is the Republican Party. I said there may be a civil war in this country by the time the time of my grandkids. Bug spray. It's going on already. It's going on already. When so-called Christian punks are attacking and beating university professors for what they think. When elections are manipulated by electronic hoodoo, when federal judges are allowing the state, the national secret police, the FBI, to dummy up elections, fact of the matter is, the war is already on, and you know, some of us are trying to fight back. And if you're hanging out listening to this show and sharing your time with me, you're part of the resistance. And I appreciate it. Because, you know, I don't fight for me. I don't try to spread the facts for me. Just as my father thought he owed me a better America than the one he inherited, so too do I owe it to my children and my progeny, our children and our progeny, Agnes and I, to give them an America unscrewed. Because we are screwed now. We just are. You know, some of this is 12-step program stuff. First, you got to admit there's a problem. And Lord God, Billy Bob, we have a problem. The professor who got the tar beaten out of him for daring to question the weirdness of creationism was forced to resign his post as chairman of the Religious Studies Department at KU today, Kansas University. That is corporatism. That way the little lurking wing nuts won't hop up and down quite so badly. It's corporatism. All bug spray, it's fascism. So, anyway, Nancy Pelosi put a pretty fine point on just exactly where the House of Representatives was trying to take America today. But yesterday, this cretin, Phil Gingrey. He is a Republican from Georgia. Decided he needed to tell Nancy Pelosi how to do her job.
Last week, following the Thanksgiving holiday, I spent a considerable amount of my time with constituents listening to their concerns and discussing a whole array of issues, from gas prices to the new prescription drug benefit to the war in Iraq. However, Mr. Speaker, some on the other side of the aisle use their time parading on comedy shows, decrying the current operation of Iraq, and scoring big laughs at the expense of our troops.
Really? Scoring big laughs at the expense of our troops? You damn liar. You damn dirty liar, Phil Gingrey, you. What he's talking about is the fact that Nancy Pelosi showed up on The Daily Show. It's about the only fearless program there is on television today. You can get more factual information out of that show than you can out of, God almighty, 99.9% of what goes down on Fox. So, having fun at the expense of our troops. I saw that segment. There was no such thing. But that wasn't enough. He went on, did Congressman Gingrey.
During her big debut on Comedy Central, the minority leader bragged that, quote, 60% of the House Democrats voted against the war to begin with, end quote, and compared to other Democrats were, quote, way ahead of the issue, end quote. I imagine that statement probably does not sit well with our troops in the field. And, Mr. Speaker, for the other 40% of my Democratic colleagues who might also take exception to this statement, I recommend that they discuss their concern with Ms. Pelosi.
Congressman Gangry, you can take your recommendation and stick it where the sun doesn't shine. I imagine that don't sit too well with our troops. Listen, you freak. Here's what doesn't sit too well with our troops. You underfunding body armor. You refusing to fund appropriate Humvee armor. You... oh, God. It doesn't sit too well with the troops when they're walking around Baghdad with a target on their backs and they get blown up 10 at a time by improvised explosive devices because you and your dear leader, whose butt you kiss on a daily basis, went into a war that they had no idea how to get out of. That's what doesn't sit well with the troops, you schmuck.
What's Bowinkle's sister's name?
Rita Cosby.
Rita Cosby.
Hi, I'm Rita Cosby.
Yeah, she went to see the troops, and they took the Worldwide
Wrestling Federation.
Whatever,
yeah.
So they go in to where there are injured soldiers. And the sad thing of it was when you listen to the young man talk, there wasn't any, gee, I'm fighting for freedom, gee,
oh,
this
that's
is
very
great.
Touching. How badly were you blown up?
His hand was in the medic's hand, and they were together, and the medic talked about taking care of him. But then they turn it into a hurrah segment after they walk away from this man.
I was really moved.
You know, don't cry crocodile tears. Go ahead and interview that poor boy laying there in that bed that's been blown to bits. Go ahead and see what his take on it is.
Well, you know, maybe he wouldn't have been blown to bits, honey, if the war in Afghanistan had been prosecuted in proper fashion. Now, I, for one, think that we probably could have gone about ousting the Taliban a little bit more effectively had we focused on the job at hand and not had a president who was sitting around plotting war against Iraq with one hand and, well, you know, with the other. That's what demoralizes the troops, knowing that they're being misused, knowing that they're being abused, and knowing that that their president, their so-called commander-in-chief, has no freaking idea of how to get them home. I despise people like Phil Gingrey. You know, you want you want to tell the minority leader how to do her job, you jerk. Switch parties and run for it. But you don't have the guts. You're another chicken hawk Republican. Let's take a break.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Okay, there we go. That's the button that works. Ah, we've got a few minutes left in tonight's Thursday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. A little something that just came across the wire to me. You might be interested in, you know, you talk about, or Congressman Gingrey wants to talk about the things that don't sit well with the troops. You think it does, maybe it doesn't sit well with the troops when they realize they're coming home to something like this. This is Dateline Raleigh, North Carolina from the Associated Press. This is with regard to North Carolina, but, you know, it can probably be extrapolated. Nearly half of the families with children in the state of North Carolina don't earn enough to pay for basic living expenses, according to a biennial report released Thursday by an advocacy group seeking economic assistance for the poor. The report by the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center determined that 521,630 families with children, or 49.1% of the state, can't make ends meet based on living income standards. You think that sits well with the troops? There's quite a few troops there in North Carolina and from North Carolina in Iraq. Best not let them know that, huh? But we need to work on a tax break package for the top 5% of the top 1% of the United States. That's what you call misplaced priorities, isn't it? Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good, you?
Okay, what's that puke Reagan's name?
Michael?
Michael?
Yeah.
Is he ready to dig up his daddy and hang him, too?
I guess so.
Well, he certainly ought to be. I mean, if there was, you know, the man set up a separate secret government.
Yeah.
You know, let's see, him, Ollie North, Weinberger, all the people that got pardoned.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Admiral Poindexter.
On and on and on and on.
I used to have the whole deck of cards.
Well, and Nancy Pelosi, I think she ought to, you know, also remind these people, play your games. You know, well, let me see. The new Republican House will take over, what, January 1st of 2007? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. We can extend the vote then, too, can't we?
No, you mean the new Democratic House?
Or the, did I say Republican?
Yeah, it gets to be a habit, doesn't it? It gets to be kind of a habit.
Yeah, well, the new Democratic House.
Yeah, we get it in January 2007, if we want it bad enough.
Yeah, well, I hope we do. I certainly do. Yeah, and when that happens, then, you know, we can play by their rules.
Oh, no, that wouldn't be fair.
Well, not where I come from.
Oh, you're emboldened, aren't you?
Huh?
You're emboldened.
Yes, I am.
That old Serbian word.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we all know what that means.
Yes.
So these people are just, it's amazing. And I mean, to hear this guy that, you know, I don't know, Gingrey. Yeah, right.
It sounds like a skin disease.
I watched Nancy Pelosi on the show.
Yeah.
She was almost embarrassed at some of the things that Stewart was saying.
Yeah, I saw it too. It's not, and she didn't say anything about the troops.
Not at all. Not at all.
But that's all they've got, Wayne.
Yeah, that is all they got. You know, these people are, you know, they're all, well, they're emboldened now, you know, because Bush is, oh, he ain't at 35 anymore. He's at 40.
Woohoo!
Yeah, okay.
Let's party on.
Right. Let's see what he is going into these elections.
No, you mean the ones in Iraq?
No. After our election.
Oh.
or coming into our election. You know, right now, I think the thing that's boosting them a little bit is, well, like you said, you know, gas has gone down. You know, some people think the economy's good. Wait till after the first of the year.
Yeah, when the Christmas credit card bills start coming in?
Yes. And when, you know, 60,000 auto workers lose their jobs. And, you know, how many jobs are related to that?
Oh,
what's Ford talking about closing 10 plants?
Yeah, 30,000 jobs, just like GM.
Right, GM. I don't know how many plants.
And then there's Delphi underneath the GM problems.
Right, and you know, for every one of those 60,000 jobs, what, you know, I mean, they, you know, when they create these jobs, they tell you, Well, a nurse, 8 jobs that go along with each one of them. Of course, we won't count them when they're going away, right?
Right. Yeah, and I had a story in the Stack last night, Wayne. Bill Gates proudly announced 3,000 more new jobs for their production plant in India.
Yeah, okay, right. Isn't that wonderful?
And I got nothing
against...
I got nothing against the Indians.
No, me neither.
But, you know, Americans need... We could use those 3,000 jobs for Microsoft in America.
Yes, we can. Where did Billy Gates make his money? You know...
Well, from his daddy. Yeah, he inherited... That's the real key to becoming a millionaire, is inherit the first $999,999.99.
Yeah, hell, I probably would have been able to do that.
Yeah, for at least a day or so.
Anyway, yeah. Probably not too much longer, but, you know, because I'm too generous.
But, you know, these guys, I mean, you know, it's hard not to call them names sometimes, Wayne. The New York, I think it was, what was it, the New York Post or the Daily News, whichever one of them that Rupert Murdoch owns, came out calling Howard Dean Howard the Coward.
Howard Dean is more patriotic than any of these people.
Sure.
You know, what Howard Dean, you know what, the, you know, these people, you know, from the movie, they can't handle the truth. And that's what Howard Dean spoke, is the truth.
Well, and, you know, he said, I don't think we can win in Iraq. And it's, that only makes sense to me because in terms of war, you only win when somebody signs the surrender document and there's no way to surrender to us.
No, there isn't.
And what's, you know, but what's more, Wayne, I don't know if you saw this or not, you know, that whole business about, you know, he's a coward and he ought to be hung because he says we can't win in Iraq and blah, 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 and he's a traitor and he's committed treason. How about August the 30th, 2004, Wayne?
Great leader said that, didn't he?
On the Today Show,
yeah.
Matt Lauer said, I'm just saying, can we win it? Do you say that? President Bush, I don't think we can win it.
Right.
So where's Michael Reagan hollering for... hollering, get a rope on that.
Yeah, and let's hang him. And, you know...
And you said that speculatively. You
right,
did not
right.
say that as a form of advocacy.
Oh, no, we can't say that now. Oh, my God. Well, it's probably too late already. They're probably on their way. I mean, you know, didn't they, you know, even our Democrats agreed to keep the Patriot Act or something?
Yeah, that conference committee agreed to let the Patriot Act go on for another 4 years of, you know, library snooping. They couldn't even get the library snooping out of it. But on the other hand, Russ Feingold did come out and say that he will filibuster it.
Well, thank God for him.
And there's 3 Republicans that said that they might join him.
That would be good also. That would... Oh, God.
You know, we need to tell a few more Democratic senators about that old Serbian word.
Yes, we do. And you know, and well, I told you before. I mean, if we end up with 4 out of 10, at least we know where we stand.
Well, yeah, but people close to home are scaring me a little bit, Wayne. You know, Howard Stern, and I don't listen to Howard. It's not my cup of tea. But Howard Stern is getting ready to go to Sirius Satellite Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and all the little really uptight people are afraid that he's just going to get on Sirius Satellite Radio and say booger for 24 solid hours.
Yeah.
And Jay Rockefeller, our senator, and I hate to goon on a Democrat, but when I see wrong, we got to call wrong, right?
You do, yes.
Jay has, my understanding, either co-sponsored or sponsored or signed off on a bill in the Senate that would extend the jurisdiction of the Federal Communication Commission over cable television and satellite radio as well.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, we don't need that.
What was his, I saw something on, he was on 60 Minutes Sunday, Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, they were playing it up like he was going to make some great revelation, or, you know, you'd be shocked to hear what he's going to say. Do you know what he said?
Yeah, he said he's not going to say any more dirty words than he's ever said before. He has never said, one of those words that you can't say. He's never done it.
Are those George Carlin's words?
Yeah, those are George Carlin's words, but I think they're enshrined at the home of the FCC.
Well, there's a couple of good words that they left out of there.
Yeah, there are. And you know what? You can't use them either.
Well, why? Well, so, it's a, so what's the
It would re-crucify Christ or something if we said that. Little fundy people would keel over dead. I don't know. I mean, I've heard what Howard says about it, and I tend to agree with him. He says, look, I'm a parent. He said, when my daughters were little, I didn't let them listen to my show. That's my job as a parent. And, you know, when you say that the government has to do your censoring for you, you're pretty much admitting that you're a lousy parent.
Yeah, exactly. You know, how about Imus? Is he exempt from the words?
No, he's not exempt from the words.
Well, he says some, he says a lot of words.
Well, that's like this show, Wayne. Right now, it's on the Internet. You know, we're negotiating with some stations. But while we're on the Internet, I could cut loose with words that I would be ashamed for my mother, God rest her soul, to know that I knew how to use.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, I mean, I don't want that.
Well,
yeah.
But the point is,
is that the same rules don't apply to everybody.
Well, not just that. It's not just the words. Howard Stern has been repeatedly fined not for words but for ideas.
Right.
And when you start nitpicking the ideas, well, that's the barest, most bold and naked form of censorship, isn't it?
Yes. I don't know.
So, you know, I think we need to get in touch with Jay Rockefeller and tell him he's not in touch with reality.
Well, I'm ready to tell him that.
You know, he's not up for re-election or anything, I don't think, in 06.
No, he just did that. I don't know. When did he run by?
What?
They got 6 years. Did he go in?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
02, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 02. But the point here is, you know, if we're gonna say that we're free, for heaven's sakes, let's be free.
Yes. I agree.
And when, you know, when Michael Reagan's out there calling for Howard Dean to be hanged, and yet it's Howard Stern who gets the fines.
Yeah, but here's how dumb the Democrats are. You know, because they had Reagan come at the convention and speak about stem cell research.
Now that was Ron.
Oh well, who? Okay.
Michael's the balding, creepy older brother from like Reagan's first marriage.
Okay.
Because you know. Reagan was so pro-marriage that he had to do it a couple of times.
Okay, I was confused.
Yeah. No, Ron is the dancer. Michael is the hateful right-wing ideologue.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Because, I forgot there were two, you know.
Yeah, and there's a sister out there, and right.
Yeah, I remember her, but the kid, okay, Michael and Ron, okay.
Right.
Very good. See, now, well, I apologize to Ron then
because you were thinking really awful things about him. Because you were thinking really awful things about him.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Howard Dean, well, I'm a fan of Howard Dean.
As am I.
Howard Dean is, like I say, if you watch him on any of these talk shows or all that, you know, as controversial as he may be, he never skips a question. He never goes around. I mean, you know, he will answer your questions. You might not like his answer, but
yeah.
He'll tell you.
And the Democratic, Wayne, the Democratic Party's problem is not Howard Dean. The Democratic Party's problem is the way the Democratic Party responds to him.
Exactly right.
You know, Rahm Emanuel, who is one of these supposed, you know, saviors of the Democratic Party. You know, he's one of Bill Clinton's inside pals, and he's a congressman from Illinois. Howard Dean had no sooner said what he said than Rahm Emanuel was jumping out as fast and as quickly as he could, saying, "Well, you don't speak for me."
Right. And Emanuel also said that about Murtha too.
Yeah, and he's also chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, and he's out there trying to run over certain people who want to run for congressional seats.
Yes.
You know, dadgummit, can we not, I mean, if you're willing to put the time and effort into running, as a Democrat, do you think maybe that person ought to be entitled to the support of the party? I guess that's just crazy talk.
Yeah, it must be crazy. You know, but then again, I've we've been called worse things.
Yeah, well, they can say those things. We just can't.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, listen, I'm glad you cleared that up for me. I wasn't even thinking about the other one.
Yeah, because Michael Reagan has a radio talk show, just like Bingo Billy Bennett does. You know,
but the rule about digging up his daddy can still apply, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, I mean, he's still a son.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right, buddy, have a good evening.
Take it easy, Wayne.
Bye.
Later. Yeah, the rule still applies. And the separate set of rules still apply, too. Bingo Billy Bennett can come out and say, you know, if we just abort all the black babies, our crime would go down in America. And Michael Reagan can say, you know, if we just hang Howard the Coward Dean for treason, everything would be sunshine and violets in America. But, on the other hand, if Howard Stern says turd, well, it's obscene. See, I guess, the crazy commie pinko liberal that I am, I guess I have a different definition of obscenity. Obscenity to me is children going to bed hungry. Obscenity to me is a family in December somewhere out in the Midwest living in a car. Obscenity to me is a veteran who comes back wounded from Iraq and can't get his government to provide him the medical services and the rehab that he needs. Obscenity to me is sending a young man to Iraq, telling him he's doing a good thing, and then expecting him to commit the heinous acts and then just be okay. And obscenity to me is leaving him alone to wake up in the middle of the night with sweat flying off of him like bullets and screaming. That's obscenity. Howard Stern talking about going potty. Not so much. Not my cup of tea. Although I enjoy a dirty joke with the next guy. But not my cup of tea. And for the most part, I try not to say anything on this program that I couldn't say in civil conversation. Here, wait a minute. I've got obscenity for you. Associated Press. A boy whose parents are accused of making their special needs adopted children sleep in cages testified Thursday that the couple forced him to live in the bathroom as punishment for going wee-wee in his enclosed bed. On another occasion, Sharon and Michael Gravel forced him to stay in his box for 2 weeks, the little boy said at the juvenile court custody hearing. I couldn't come out of my room. Wait for it. Oh, you know what the angle is. I couldn't come out of my room until I wrote the whole book of Deuteronomy, he said. I was up there for like a month. Let's see, Book of Deuteronomy. Oh, yeah, thou shalt not wee-wee thy bed. The boy said he's grown tired of his box, but he was ambivalent when asked whether he preferred being with the Gravels or in a foster home. It doesn't matter, he said. There's no sense getting comfortable at any place. The Gravels are trying to regain custody. Oh, see, I'm trying to learn not to scream on the radio. The Gravels are trying to regain custody of the 11 children, ages 1 to 15, who have problems such as fetal alcohol syndrome, HIV, and a disorder in which children eat dirt. The Gravels were accused of making most of them sleep in cages, but have not been charged with any crime. Of course, if they were charged with a crime, you know what the answer is. We're being persecuted because we're Christians. The boy said most of his brothers and sisters slept on wood with blankets, but no pillows or mattresses in the cages. One girl's head was shoved in a toilet by a parent because she was drinking water out of it, and another had her head pushed into a toilet because she urinated in bed, the boy said. He testified he had to sleep in the bathroom for nearly 3 months because he wet his bed at night. Another time I spent a good portion of my life in there, he said. If I was really good, I'd get to come out for an hour. The children were removed from the home in September after a child services investigator visited the home and examined the chicken wire cages. The investigator, Joellen Johnson, compared the home to a kennel. But Jay Rockefeller is upset that Howard Stern might say something naughty. Tell you what, let's worry about the airwaves later. Let's deal with the people who are really obscene as quickly as we possibly can. The boy testified that the children would set off a shrill alarm when they opened an enclosure door at night. They were let out when their parents were ready for them in the morning. He described various punishments for wetting the bed. We'd have to go upstairs and scrub it. The younger ones would get spanked. We would have to go pull a bucket of weeds. When he wet the bed, the boy said, he often had to stand outside just in my wet pajamas until the other children were finished using the bathroom. Deuteronomy. Christians. Christians. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Christians. Deuteronomy. Weep. The show tonight was produced by my lovely wife Agnes. Announced by Brian Reznor. The setup was engineered by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch manages the stream and the archives, as well as those of many other fine liberal talk radio programs. The show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And always, always, RMR, it's all for you.